الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا وإن الله لمع المحسنين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المهاجر من هجر ما نهى الله عنه وقال عليه السلام لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Most respected honorable Ulama-i Kiram, Hufaz of the Quran, brothers and friends in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In present times we travel, we traverse the world with the passport that we hold. At times it's visa on arrival. It's a very quick passage to get through the country we're intending to go, and at some times we have to acquire our visa in our homeland, and then we would head into the direction that we intend going. But that visa is our identity, and it will explain to the authorities that who we are and where we belong to. So just this one passport will give them all the necessary information that they require. The entire profile comes onto that computer screen. Every one of us from the Ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are on a journey from this transitory life, this temporary abode, to the eternal life of Akhirat. We all are holding a passport, and that passport on the day of Qiyamah will either be a swift, and inshallah Allah make it for every one of us, that we get our Jannah with ease, without any hisab and kitab, inshallah. And there's no waiting period, there's no questionings on arrival, there's no problems at all. We would say maybe we would be VVIP, inshallah. But that passport has to be the passport of Iman and Sunnah. The name should read, the servant of Allah. And the ethnicity should read, the lovers of the Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then for us to enter into Jannah and to ascend the highest of stages and be in the neighborhood of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be easy for us. But every one of us in this world, in this time that we have been given, every day we are reminded of a struggle. In the time of pre-Islam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the people of Jahiliyyah, the Kufar, they would record events, occurrences and occasions by major events that took place in their era. So, for example, they would refer to an incident as that this incident took place at Amul Fil, the year of the elephants, when they came to attack Makkah Mukarramah and Kaaba Sharif. 1 year before, 1 year after, or on the year. This had transpired at this year, Amul Huzn, etc. In the time of Umar radiallahu anhu was the time that he was confronted with a question. Sahaba radiallahu anhum came and asked him that we have received the document and the letter, but we don't know which month it's referring to. Is it the month of this year or is it the month of the coming year? So how do we ascertain, verify, is it this year, is it the following year, is it 2 years from now? Sahaba radiallahu anhum got together, he held counsel, and there were many ideas that were thrown in, that how do we record the train of events from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and for the future? It was not our Islamic calendar, which is the identity of every Muslim. We would identify ourselves with an Islamic calendar. If a person has to, you ask a person, what's his name? He says, Muhammad. Okay, he's a Muslim. Person says, I'm Abdul Rahman. You'll know he's a person, he's a Muslim. The way a person dresses, he's got a kurta, or a person is wearing a beard, then this is a sign that possible, perhaps this person is a Muslim. So these are all signs and identities that we are carrying to identify ourselves so people know who we are. So Umar radiallahu anhu said with Sahaba, how would a Muslim identify his train of events and record occurrences? It wasn't with the birth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for we are not a nation that celebrates. Our celebration is an ibadat. The recording of events was not on the wafat and the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for we are not a nation that are stuck in mosque, or rather in mourning and in grief. We will pick ourselves up and we will have to move on. So eventually Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they mulled over the different ideas that were thrown in. Eventually they settled that the train of events would be recorded around, centered around the hijrah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That every year the Muslim Ummah must be reminded of the ultimate sacrifice of Sahaba radiallahu anhum and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he made his hijrah, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum, it was the dark days and ages in the lives of Sahaba and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was an open permission to perform salah in Kaaba Sharif. There was, we would say, curfew, there was problems, there was lockdown also. There were difficulties. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waited for the permission from Allah. When that permission came now to make hijrah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first person he comes to is the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu looks at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approaching in the distance. It is a very odd time. So he says, مَا جَاءَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي هَذِهِ السَّاعَةِ إِلَّا لِأَمْرٍ حَدَثٍ. It's something very, very extraordinary and important that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come to visit me at this hour. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu opens the door. He welcomes Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Abu Bakr, please, whoever is in the house needs to just give us some space. I need to discuss with you something. We need everyone out of this. It's high profile meeting. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَذِنَ لِي بِالْخُرُوجِ وَالْهِجْرَةِ. Allah has given the permission, now I can make my hijrah and leave Makkah Mukarramah. There was no permission before that. I had to make sabr, I had to be patient and face the challenges. Now there's permission, I can go. So the first question that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu asked, he says, Ya Rasulullah, as-suhba? Ya Rasulullah, can I accompany you on this journey? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-suhba? Naam. Abu Bakr, only you, this is why I came to you. You're going to accompany on this journey. Only you will be with me. Aisha radiallahu anha says, Wallahi ma sha'artu qattu qabla thalika al-yawm anna ahadan yabki min shiddati al-farah. There was the time I came to know that a man can cry out of extreme happiness. I never knew a man would cry even in extreme happiness. In jubilation, in celebration, he's crying. He cannot believe himself that he's been selected. He's also got this permission to accompany Nabi Sam on this journey. But Nabi Sam has to leave Makkah Mukarramah and go to Medina Tayyibah. He doesn't leave. He goes, and whatever necessary arrangement needs to be made, Nabi Sam made those arrangements. The first thing Nabi Sam does, he goes to Ali radiallahu anhu. He says, Oh Ali, you would sleep in my bed and I'm going for hijrah. But Oh Ali, I've got the amanat and the trust of people. When they come to ask, I haven't disappeared. I haven't vanished. They need whatever they require. This is it. Allah protect us. Allah give us tawfiq. Yes, it's trying times. It's challenging times that we are going through, where there's a financial crunch and difficulties, and yes, it's there. But let us not, you know, all the time fall onto this financial crunch and don't pay our creditors. But you know, things are difficult. I forgot, I don't remember, and I don't know. And people are owing millions. People are owing in the millions. But everything is maf now. You know, coronavirus just passed. I can't, how can I? From where must get the money? Will you tell me where must get the money from? That is something, it's an amana, it has to be discharged. So Nabi Sam tells Ali radiallahu anhu, I'm not going to vanish. This has to be discharged. En route the journey, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many things that happened. If you read Siratul Mustafa, which is a very valuable kitab on the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the portion of Hijrah, amazing incidents took place. Just one of them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passes the cave and he is going towards Madinah Tayyibah. The only person that really caught sight of them was Suraqah bin Malik, the kafir. When he saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he's heading in that direction. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is parishan, he's worried, he's concerned. He's worried. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Abu Bakr, la tahzan, don't get worried. What's the worry? He says, Ya Rasulullah, not me, I'm worried about you. I'm not worried about myself. And he's coming for the price tag of 100 camels that's been put to your Mubarak head. That's what he's coming for. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, la tahzan. You worried? He comes absolutely close. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua. Allahumma kfinahu bima shi't. Ya Allah, you suffice us, you take care of him. Allahumma kfinahu bima shi't. When there is difficulties and as a Muslim ummah, we make the dua. Allahumma kfinahum bima shi't. Ya Allah, you take care of the enemies of Islam. So he made this dua. And then Suraqah bin Malik, who's kafir at the time, later on becomes a Muslim. His horse, the legs actually sink into the ground. So then he tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever happened was because of you, I'm going back. Nabi sallam makes dua, comes out of the sand, and his horse is once again on the ground. Then on for the second time he attempts to attack Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallam makes dua. For the second time his horse sinks into the ground. And it happened, Nabi sallam made dua, and for the third time it happened. And then he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, write for me a letter of security and safety. I wouldn't be after you after this. Anyone I would see from Makkah Mukarramah, I would divert their attention to another road. They wouldn't know where you are. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted it. He wrote the letter of safety for Suraqah bin Malik. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Suraqah, he's a kafir. He says, Kayfa bika ya Suraqah? Idha labista siwara kisra. Oh Suraqa, what you think would be your situation when the day would come? You'd be wearing the jewelry and the gold and silver of even the king of Persia. He's thinking to himself, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has only got one person to protect him. He's talking about the jewelry, he's talking about the gold and silver of Persia. What's all this all about? Eventually in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, when the armies were sent towards Persia, and then the Mali Ghanima and the booty was brought to Madina Tayyibah. Now Suraqah bin Malik is in his 80s. He's about 80 years old plus. Then Umar radiallahu anhu calls Suraqah. He says, oh Suraqah, come. Suraqah bin Malik comes. And Umar radiallahu anhu hands over to him the jewels, the gems, the diamonds of Persia. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when they saw this, Suraqah bin Malik himself, they all resonated, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. They all made the takbir. The Nabi said this in the days of Hijrah. Here we've seen the fruition of it. This is it happened. So this was the Hijrah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the Hijrah of Sahaba radiallahu anhum was amazing. There are many incidents. One incident was that of Suhaib al-Rumi radiallahu anhu. Suhaib al-Rumi was a very wealthy Sahabi. He's living Makkah Mukarramah. The Kuffar come and they accost him. They surround him. They say, oh Suhaib. So he says, wait, hold on. I know what you all are after. My jewelry, my treasures, my wealth. I would show you the exact location of my jewelry, just and my treasures. Allow me to leave. He say, deal on, no problem. So they go back to Makkah Mukarramah. He identifies the spot. They dig up. They find the treasures, the wealth. And Suhaib al-Rumi is allowed now to make hijrah. He's making hijrah. When the moment, now very quick journey, he comes to Madinah Tayyibah. When he comes to Madinah Tayyibah, Nabi Sam says, Rabihal, Ya Aba Yahya, Rabihal Bay, Ya Aba Yahya, Rabihal Bay, O Suhaib, what a bargain. What a bargain. He said, Ya Rasulallah, you already know about it. You already got information of what happened. I mean, no one else could have beat me on this journey. It's fresh news. I came to relay it to you. You're telling me, Rabi Halbay. Oh, Suhaib, ayat has already been revealed regarding your bargain and your trade with Allah. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ بْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ Amongst men are those that are ready to sell themselves in search, in talab, in desire, in acquisition of just the ultimate pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He said, take all my treasures. I want Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what I want. Take all of this. Subhanallah, some of us may have heard, but that person just passes away. Now we're hearing incidents. The moment the lockdown had come into effect, man goes to his building with full of tenants. And what does he say? That as long as the lockdown is in effect, no rental. He never waits for the letter of concession or discount. He goes up to them and not just don't pay me rental. In the van, I've got quite a bit of requirements, daily requirements, rice, whatever is required. Here, take this and distribute to the people of this flat. What a heart it takes to do that. May yashri nafsahu bitigha'a. If Allah is happy, I'm ready to give it all. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu were ready to sacrifice even their wealth for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Abu Salama radiallahu anhu, his wife Ummu Salama, the child, they are all traveling and making hijrah. The family of Ummu Salama, they come and they say, Oh Abu Salama, you can go, but she belongs to our family. So you'll continue. We keeping the wife and the child behind. Abu Salama's family come and they say, No, the wife is from your family. The child belongs to us. He carries the surname of the father. So we keep him. He belongs to us. So they all are separated. The wife with her family, the child with the family of Abu Salama. Abu Salama is resolute. He's determined. I'm making hijrah. I am going. So the wife gives him ijazah and permission. You go for it. Go for the sake of Allah. So he continues on his hijrah. He reaches Madinah Tayyibah. Ummu Salama, for 1 year, she would go to the mountain top and she would cry to Allah to open up the way so she can make hijrah. For 1 entire year. Until mercy had entered into one of the chieftains and one of the leaders. And he comes and he says, hey, hold on, she's crying for the last year. Let's allow her to go. Please, let's unite the child and the wife and allow them. So they came to tell her the good news. You are allowed to make hijrah. We've seen you're not in the right frame of mind. You're just not focused. You're crying so much it can be detrimental to your health. Allow her to make hijrah. So they put the child back. Allow her and she goes for hijrah. She says, وَمَا مَعِيَ أَحَدٌ مِنْ خَلْقِ اللَّهِ There was no other person that accompanied me on this journey besides myself and my child. But for the sake of Allah, we were ready to do it. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu were ready to even sacrifice their wives and their children in search of the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah must be happy, but we will leave our families also for the sake of Allah. And then there was sacrifice even by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. Imagine Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes hijrah. He comes to Madinah Tayyibah. But now all his family members haven't come as yet. They haven't come. Not all we are allowed to come. One of them that still was left behind was Zainab radiallahu anha. Before the law had been revealed that a Muslim lady cannot be in nikah with a kafir man. So she was married to Abu al-As, who later on became radiallahu anhu. But in the battle of Badr, Abu al-As, he fought in the side of the kuffar. So when he fought on the side of the kuffar, he was taken into captivity. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gathered all the captives of war, and he had struck a deal with them that you would have to get some monies of ransom from your families in Makkah Mukarramah. When that money of ransom comes, then no problem, you can go. If there's no money, teach one of us a skill, and that will be your ransom. And at that moment, when Nabi Sam is receiving the ransom money from the families in Makkah Mukarramah, Nabi Sam is sitting with Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and then lama ba'athat ahlu makkata fi fida'i asrahum, they were sending the money of ransom. Nabi Sam is sitting with Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and then Zainab radiallahu anha, for the ransom of her husband who's kafir, ba'athat biqiladatin laha, she sent her necklace, which her mother Khadija radiallahu anha had given her when she got married to Abu Al-As. That, oh my Betty, you're getting married, there's something for you, you go in, take this jewelry also. So she took that. Now she sent that jewelry, that necklace. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked at that necklace, فَرَقَّ لَهَا رِقَّةً شَدِيدَةً, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in tears. Nabi Sallam was broken. Imagine this lockdown. Your daughter is all the way in a foreign country. No repatriation flights even coming in. She doesn't have the funds. Nor do you have to even transfer. And you're thinking about your daughter. And then the message comes that she's even pregnant. That she's going to expect. Do you expect a pregnant lady now to travel on camelback or horseback from that time? Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Tayyibah. Nabi Sam looked at it. He says, oh my Sahaba, everyone Shay is here. In ra'aytum man tutliqu laha asiraha. If you all give me permission, I want to give this necklace back and allow Abu al-As to return this necklace to my daughter on condition that he will allow his wife, my daughter, to return back to Medina Tayyibah. She must be able to make hijrah. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they saw Nabi Sallam is worried, he's concerned about his family. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Sahaba, Sahaba radiallahu anhum says, Naam, definitely, no problem. Then the necklace was given back, Abu al-As takes it. When he comes to Makkah Mukarramah, then he gives the necklace to his wife, and he gives his wife permission now to come. Nabi Sam even praised Abu al-As for his quality of being true to his word. He was true to his word. He was a kafir, but he was true. Later on, he becomes a Muslim. But as Zainab radiallahu anha is leaving, and she's leaving Makkah Mukarramah, sitting on top of a camel, and she's pregnant, she's expecting. The moment she comes to the outskirts, one of the enemies of Islam, he takes a spear and a dagger, and he hits it into the stomach of the camel, because of which the camel falls, and the pregnant daughter of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Zainab radiallahu anha, falls and she's injured. She falls and she's injured. And this injury eventually was one of the causes of the death of Zainab radiallahu anha. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was ready to even go to that extent. I will sacrifice even my children. I would sacrifice whatever it takes, as long as this deen of Islam can reach the Muslims of the four corners of the world. As ulama always say, that Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they watered the gardens of Islam with their blood. We are asked to just water it and keep it blooming with just our time and our sweat. They gave their blood. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's daughter, eventually she makes hijrat and she comes to Medina Tayyibah. But this was the level of sacrifice of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Whatever it took, whether it meant my wealth only, I would allow that. Whether it's life, in any situation, Ummu Kulthum, the daughter of Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayt, she made hijrah all alone. She made hijrah all alone. There was no male with her, there was no man, but she wanted the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and his Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem, we may think to ourselves that, so this Islamic calendar, it centers around the hijrat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That this is how we remember the train of events. We record, document events and occurrences that certain year of Hijri, this transpired. To remind the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the struggle between Haqq and Batil is forever. The struggle between Haqq and Batil will always be there. So this is the lesson for us as the Ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, we are in the days of Muharram. Our fasting in South Africa would be obviously either tomorrow Saturday and Sunday, or Sunday and Monday. So there's 2 days of fasting. Either it's going to be Saturday and Sunday, or Sunday and Monday. On Saturday night, that will be the night of the 10th of Muharram, our respected Imam and Hazrat of our locality, Hazrat Mullah Ahmad Chauhan Sahib, inshallah, will be addressing us more particularly with regards to Ashura and whatever relevant points and advice Hazrat has and Nasiha. He will be discussing that on Saturday night. So the brothers are requested to participate in that program. Whatever is going to be discussed regarding Ashura, what is the articles that we are reading regarding spending on the day of Ashura. But the message that we had for today was that our identity as Muslims is our Islamic calendar. Our Ustad and Principal Mullah Abdul Hamid Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, always used to encourage us. He used to say, whenever you're writing anything down, first write the Islamic date. Especially if you're writing to a Muslim brother, write the Islamic date. Under it, no problem, you will write the English date. No problem, you can write the English date below that. Maybe we're more familiar with that. But the Islamic, just to conscientize us, that we've got an identity, we've got even a calendar as Muslims, so we would write that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq that we keep our identity as Muslims, inshaAllah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each one of us the tawfiq and the ability that we hold on to the deen of Islam, and we make dua for the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the time of sacrifice. This is the time that we are living, really a time of sacrifice. One person very beautifully said, إِذَا فَقَدْتَ مَكَانَ بُذُورِكَ. He said, if you forget where you planted your seed, he says, if you forget where you planted your seed, no problem. فَسَيُخْبِرُكَ الْمَطَرْ أَيْنَ بَذَرْتَهَا. When the rain comes, it will show you where you grew it. Maybe you forgot. So he says, we as the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every occasion we get, let's plant our seeds of good deeds. Let's plant our good deeds. If'alil khair, do your good everywhere. And leave it hidden. People shouldn't know too much about what you are doing. Try and hide it. And then water it with the tears of repentance. Ya Allah, I haven't done justice. I'm trying, oh my Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show us the fruits of all of our amal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Subhanahu.